is your day? Better? Great? Kind of good? I hope it gets cold. Not real cold, but I hope it gets some cold because I'm tired of going up and down and being sick all the time. I don't know about you. Well, Tori, thanks for the compassion. Anyway, if you didn't hear Jerry's announcement this morning, on April 2nd, we're going back to the other service time, Sunday school 9:30, worship 10:45. And so it's always good to repeat those things as often as possible. Also, I want to talk about the meeting we had yesterday. I thought it was very profitable, very positive. I thought there were a lot of good things said. And so we're waiting to hear what the group says next week. And so if you weren't here yesterday and you're interested in the church, please show up next week because we're talking about a vision. We have to have a new vision. We have to have a new direction of where God wants us to go. It's not about me. It's not about any of you. It's about what God wants to do. Does that make sense? Makes sense to me. Stand with me as I read Scripture. I'm reading from Exodus chapter 18. Am I on this morning? All right, just Exodus chapter 18. Well, I guess we'll find out if I'm on when I start preaching, right? Exodus chapter 18, verse 13. The next day Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone, and all the people stand around you from morning until evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God when they have a dispute. They come to me, and I decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his law." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God will be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws, and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy, excuse me, and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure, and all this people also will go to their place in peace." So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And they judged the people at all times. Any hard case they brought to Moses, but any small matter they decided themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart. And he went away to his own country. Pray with me. Father, we thank you today for your word. And Lord, as we look at your word today, I pray that we'll be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Do in us, individually and as a church, what you have purposed to do. May our eyes be attentive. May our eyes be focused on you. May your Holy Spirit have the freedom to do in this place what you want to do. And Lord, we are grateful that your word says that you inhabit the praise of your people. So, Father, we sent you as you lead us, and we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Well, for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about teamwork and the need for team. The first place that, or one of the first places I see teamwork, at least in the New Testament, is in the Gospel of John. And let me find that for you. If you want to turn around, turn with me, it's in John chapter 8. I'll read in verse 27. Excuse me. if I can find it. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." As he was saying these things, many believed in him. See, for me, the first team, at least in the New Testament, is the team of the Father and the Son. Jesus came to carry out the will of the Father, didn't he? Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was the plan from eternity. Jesus came to do what God purposed to do. And he said several times when he was here, "I do nothing on my own. I always listen to the Father." And so there's a team, and that's an example for us, isn't it? We need to work as a team. And anyone who doesn't decide to work as part of that team weakens the team. You know, the old expression, it's become a cliche, is a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And what we want to do is strengthen each of the links. You know, a few weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, I can't remember all these things, they gave you an acronym for team. Together, everyone achieves more. I want to give you another one today. Transitioning every available man or woman. Transitioning every available man or woman. What's that mean? That means we want to move you from where you are to where God wants you to be. You know, sometimes we serve in areas where we think we're needed, but they aren't according to our spiritual gifts, and we burn out. Sometimes we're sitting in a pew and we're not doing anything, and so the people who are called by God to do a ministry get burnt out because there are people here who should be coming alongside and helping them, and they don't. You see, every person in the body of Christ has a place, don't we? Every single person, and I believe that every person that God has brought to this church, he's done so for a specific reason. We have been gifted and placed by God in a place where we can accomplish his will and his purpose. And there is no place for people on the sideline. We need to get off the bench and get in the game. Does that make sense? Together, everyone achieves more. And we're transitioning every available man and woman. I think those two things go together. And so that's what we need to look for. That's what we need to do. And I think that's biblical, by the way. Can you imagine a church where every member participates? God brought you here not to sit in a pew. Years ago, my wife bought me two t-shirts. I wish I still had them. One was bright yellow and the other was sky blue. But they had the same message on the front. The message was, couch potato. I think that was a pretty apt description. Or she wouldn't have bought me the t-shirt. You know, we ought to have maybe have some t-shirts printed out that say pew potato. We need to get up out of the pew and go to work. Does that make sense? How many people in the body of Christ has God gifted with at least one spiritual gift? Everyone? How many people that God has God gifted that he expects to go to work? He expects them to utilize their spiritual gift. How many people? All. Years ago, a wise man told me how to define the word all. All means all, and that's all means. And so if God has gifted every member of the church, that's all, right? If God has placed every one of us in the body of Christ, that is all. And so if you're all this morning, just bear with me this morning. I'm going to do some really crazy things this morning. Anyway, bear with me when I do this. Raise your hand if you're an all. All right, I saw almost every hand. So, you know, that was just a rehearsal for this one. Raise your hand if you're an all. Sweet. That's what we're looking for, isn't it? I wanted to, I'm going to read some fairly lengthy passages of Scripture today. But if you have your Bible, and I trust you do, because you should never walk into a church without your Bible. And if you happen to do that this morning, maybe you forgot one, there's one in the pew pocket right ahead of you. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, pay attention. All right? Pay attention. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Understand that word empower. If you write in your Bible, if you circle words, circle that word or underline it. Empowers. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to, what's the next phrase? Each one. He apportions to each one individually as he wills, as the Holy Spirit wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the same of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? Where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. I want you to pay special attention to verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, how? As he chose. As he chose. God has gifted this church with enormous ability. There is talent everywhere. God has given spiritual gifts to every believer so that we might come together and work together to accomplish the will and the purpose of God. He's placed us here. We are one body. He puts us here just as he determined. Have you ever thought about that, how important you are to God? God's gifted you. God has given you a supernatural ability to work for him, to serve him, and to serve others. It's an amazing thing that God has done for us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Henry Ford. Anybody ever heard of that guy? Henry Ford once said, "Coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success." Coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success. We need each other. I found a couple stories this week that I wanted to share with you. There's a story told of an out-of-town man who drove his car into a ditch in an isolated rural area. Luckily, a local farmer just happened to be passing by, and he came to help with his big, strong horse. He hitched Buddy up to the car and yelled, "Pull, Nelly, pull." What was the horse's name? "Pull, Nelly, pull." Buddy didn't move. Then the farmer hollered, "Pull, Buster, pull." Buddy still didn't respond. He yelled one more time, "Pull, Coco, pull." Still nothing. Then the farmer said, "Pull, Buddy, pull." See, the horse was blind, and when he heard "pull, Buddy, pull," he easily pulled the car out of the ditch. The motorist was most appreciative and very curious. He asked the farmer why he called his horse the wrong name three times. The farmer said, "Oh, Buddy is blind. And if he thought he was the only one pulling, he wouldn't even try. If he thought he was the only one pulling, he wouldn't even try. Isn't that the way sometimes it is in the church? Isn't that the way we look at the place where God has put us? Sometimes we think that we're the only person there, that we are the only person trying. And so after a while, we start to get burnt out. What we need to know is that God has somebody with us. And what others need to understand is that maybe you're the one that God is calling alongside. You see, maybe we don't think we can lead a ministry, but you can support a ministry. Rick Warren once said that every church member ought to serve where they're gifted, and they ought to serve where they're needed. Serve where they're gifted and serve where they're needed. We talked about Ecclesiastes last week, Ecclesiastes 4, where it said a cord of 3 strands is not easily broken. Brings us back to Exodus chapter 18. I want you to take a look at verse 14. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand around you from morning till evening?" Jethro says, "What are you doing? And why are you by yourself?" There are no lone rangers in the church, or there should be no lone rangers in the church. We ought always to have someone come alongside us and encourage us, someone to lift us up when we fall. And trust me, we're going to fall. We need that one or two or three people who be there when we fall to help lift us up. What is this you are doing, and why are you alone? See, Moses had taken on much more than he could handle. Maybe Moses thought that he could do all these things. And sometimes we think that we can do more than we can. What happens, Tori, if no one comes alongside you to help you in Bible school? Is by yourself. Isn't it amazing that all of a sudden, out of the blue, you know, and I don't believe in coincidence, but out of the blue, Jethro shows up. And at the end of this passage, you'll notice that Moses says, Moses let Jethro go home. Do you suppose that God brought Jethro just for this purpose? Is that a possibility? God brought Jethro to this place at this time for just this purpose. He says in verse 18, you will wear yourself out. Burnout comes. You see, I don't believe that any of us should ever burn out in ministry. God calls us to go to work. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, "For those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They should mount up with wings as eagles. They will walk and not get tired. They will walk and not faint, run and not get tired." It's one of those two things. I ought to remember because that's the verse that my pastor preached at my ordination. Wait upon the Lord. We need to spend time with God alone. Then we may be spending time with God in a group setting with others who can encourage us and help us and teach us. You know, the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. And we should never, ever have to minister alone because God has placed you and me in the body to accomplish his will and his purposes, and we can't do it by ourselves. And when we try, I promise you, you'll burn out. You'll get tired, you'll get frustrated, and you get tired and frustrated to the point where you will just give it up. We need each other, don't we? God has given us teams, and sometimes those teams need to be expanded. Now I'm going to get very specific. Where's Belinda this morning, Wally? Why? Okay. Are there others who can teach preschool? Would it benefit us as a church if Belinda was able to come to service once in a while? Barb Pistone spent 20 years in that back hallway. 20 years. Because she couldn't get people to come alongside and help. 20 years. I have the best secretary on earth, and she's going to yell at me tomorrow. But she spends week after week after week in the back. Don't you suppose she wants to be in here once in a while? She needs to be in here once in a while so she can tell me what I said on Sunday. But she can tell me on Monday what I said on Sunday. And I'd like to hear that other than put your big boy pants on. But what if, just what if, God's people would get excited about God's will and God's purpose, and God's people, that excitement would overflow, and we couldn't wait to get in a position to help. That we would be willing to do whatever it took, whenever God wanted us to do it. See, one of the questions for us is, are we willing to listen to where God wants to take us, and are we willing to follow? Are we willing to go to hear God where he wants to take us, and are we willing to follow him? And if we're willing to follow him, if we say, yes, God, I'll do that, that means we got to make some sacrifices. We have to give some things up. We have to refocus on him. We have to spend more time with him. Our lives need to become more in tune with what he's doing. You see, God never speaks to anyone except he speaks to us individually. And as he speaks to us individually, he brings us together and we hear the same thing corporately. And we form a team and we move ahead. All of us need an advisor. Jethro was that advisor. I have a group of men that I have around me who advise me and who help me and who get me to where I need to be. Or who they're working to do that. Jethro said to Moses, you will represent the people before God. And these people that we've appointed over 50s and hundreds will solve those problems under your leadership. His promise was, you will be able to endure. See, when we're doing what God wants us to do in the power of the Holy Spirit, and people come alongside us to encourage us, to help us, to pick us up when we fall, to sometimes give us words we don't want to hear, to get us back where we need to be. You will be able to endure. I found this other illustration. Maybe some of you have heard this, maybe some not. It's a story about geese. By flying together in a V formation, a flock of geese increases their flight efficiency by 71%. You imagine that? They increase their flight efficiency by 71% compared to a single bird flying alone. When a goose leaves the formation, it feels the resistance of the air and the difficulty of flying by itself. Then it quickly returns to the formation to take advantage of the flock's power in front of him. When the leader gets tired, he goes to the end of the formation and another goose takes the lead. As the geese continue to fly in the V formation, those following honk. You ever heard geese flying overhead and they just honking all the time? They honk to encourage the goose who is in the lead. In that way, they maintain their speed. Now listen to this. If a goose gets sick or is injured or can't keep up, that goose leaves the formation. But other geese leave with it. They stay with that goose until he dies, or until he's able to fly again, or he's able to rejoin the group or join another group. There's a lesson for us in the geese. Isn't there? The part I like the best, I guess, is of all these things, when a goose gets sick or injured and has to leave the formation, he's not left alone. He's not by himself. Other geese fall out of the formation and go to be with him until he dies, until he heals, until he's able to go, and then they rejoin the formation. But they don't leave that goose alone. Shouldn't that be true for us? Together, everyone achieves more. We need to be a team. The thing about Moses said, so Moses listened. Moses listened. That's why God brings people around us. You know, sometimes we need to be corrected. Sometimes I need to be corrected. Sometimes I have to realize that my way isn't the only way. God brings people around us to balance us so that we can become what we need to become in Christ. You know how easy it is to put a committee together with people who only agree with you? I mean, that's a snap. Do you know how hard it can be to put people around you in some kind of committee? And understand this, I despise committees. But if everybody up, everybody who can get up, up. So now what I want you to do is move out in the aisles, and I want you to take somebody by the hand. And I want you to, I don't care if we have to go outside, through the pews, I don't care how we need to do this, but we need to take somebody by the hand, and the circle needs to be complete. So spread out. And in this one, when I was a kid, there was something on my report card that says, plays well with others. So Sharon's sitting there by herself, somebody take her hand. Somebody take Sharon's hand. Don't leave Mark. Don't leave Mark alone. Somebody, move back and make Jean a part of this circle. Move the chain back, David. You go back and grab your grandma's hand. Go back. Now the question is, does everybody have a hand? Do what? We have a tail.
Grab John's hand and Courtney's.
John, Courtney, get out of that booth and get down here.
Oh, and whoever's short.
Unless you have somebody's hand back there. All right.
Now, reach up and grab Courtney.
I'm going to tell you. When we are like this as a team, we can do anything. We can accomplish anything God gives us. But here's what I want to realize. Jerry, you move back from me. Rick and Joyce, you separate and move back from each other. You can still grab Joel's hand or your dad's, one of the two, but I don't want you and Joyce to be holding hands. Joe, you stop holding hands with Leah and just move away from her. All right? Now, just indulge me here, okay? Brenda and Lisa, you quit holding hands and move away from each other. Now, here's the thing. Anger. Judgmentalism. Criticism. Self-righteousness. All of these things will break the team. And when there are gaps in the team, Ephesians 4:26 says, don't give the devil an opportunity. And every time there is a break in the team, the enemy has an opportunity. We don't want that to happen. Is that right? We don't want that to happen. So join back together, team. And I want you to purpose in your heart that you will never let that happen. Never. We never allow the enemy to get a foothold. We work together as a team to accomplish God's will and God's purpose. Go ahead and be seated. The elders, come forward, please. Go ahead and be seated. We're going to worship at the Lord's table just now. And what I want us to realize is that celebrating the Lord's table is not about church membership. It's about big church membership, universal church. It's about anyone who has trusted Christ as their personal Savior. And so if you're here this morning, and you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, if you know that He's your personal Savior, then we invite you to worship with us today at His table. Paul writes these instructions in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I know we hear these things over and over and over again. But listen. Listen like it was the first time you were hearing it. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." What I want us to do this morning is take some time to examine our hearts, to get quiet before God. You see, it doesn't say we can't come to the table. It says we need to examine ourselves before we come. We need to find out if there is any sin that is recurring in our lives, anything we're trying to hold on to that is displeasing to God. And so we take a few minutes this morning and we search God and ask God through the power of the Holy Spirit to look in our lives.